Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we are here to talk about a new indie, I'm going to say suspenseful, mind-bendingly intriguing horror thriller, Neon Lights. And the director and co-writer is here with me today, Ruzbeh Hadari. Welcome, sir.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Pretty good. Now, I first want to make sure I have all of these set pieces correct. The lead actor, Dana Abraham, who played Clay, and my God, what a performance. He was also came up with the concept of the story, and the two of you wrote it together?
We came up with the concept together. We just, hashed out the story, the beats, the arcs of the characters, and then he wrote the screenplay.
Excellent. So yes, to give everyone a little background, Neon Lights is about a tech mogul who's going through some things, and we find him in the middle of a crisis, and in order to resolve this crisis, he invites his family, his brother, his friend, his two brothers, one of the brother's wife and their daughter, to give him a moment to address some past issues and therefore being able to move through them. And my biggest question was this supposed to be an exercise in showing how unresolved trauma can affect you the longer it goes on, or a showcase of how families can inflict the most damage on people, and when you run away, stay away?
I think it's both. But most importantly, it was an exercise of bringing the subject of mental health, raising conversation, bringing it to the forefront of conversation, mental health, dealing with trauma. But the other two subjects that you mentioned, yeah, absolutely, those as well.
Yeah, the stigma surrounding mental health is something I believe we need to eliminate or ameliorate, because so many people are dealing with so much. And they've just been told to, suck it up. It's all in your head. I'm like, this is how you make axe murderers. Stop it.
You see.
Yeah. And it's amusing to me, or curious to me, how when the using the stigma of mental illness was a ploy used by the government to discredit people who came forward with UFO sightings. And I'm like, that's wrong. Just so that parallel to me has always been interesting. And so seeing mental illness addressed in a more realistic fashion over the decades has been positive for me. And this movie addresses consequences of not dealing with that, with issues. And I don't want to spoil it, because really no way to talk about how it resolves without spoiling it. But
Let's not spoil it for the audience.
No, I will just say that the play-by-play between Dana's character Clay, who is our tech mogul in crisis, and Kim Coates' character Denver, was so delightful. I mean, I figured out pretty early what was going on, but the way they interact with each other was creative and entertaining. How did that develop while you guys were developing the story?
Yeah, well, I'm a huge fan of Kim Coates. Like, he's one of my favorite actors, period. I just love him to bits. And So one can say maybe subconsciously, or maybe even consciously. I would lean on consciously. When developing that character, I had Kim in my sights. Like I just could only visualize Denver as Kim Coates. Kim Coates is Denver, rather. So the power of manifestation and hard work and just going after things that you believe in paid off here. Getting Kim to, I couldn't see anyone else as Denver. And when Kim came on board, the amount of passion, love, and expertise and knowledge she brought to the project and the process really elevated this. He worked with us tirelessly on his character, tirelessly on just making the script as tight and as best as it could be. And then working on scenes with Dana, after every take and before every take, there was always a huddle, showing up to set early to huddle and work on scenes for the day and doing all that prep and rehearsing prior to the shoot. I think that's really where the dynamic was born. And it just grew from there.
Was Dana always going to play Clay, or did that develop later?
Yeah, well, I had never worked with Dana in any capacity prior to Neon Lights. And so, when he said he wanted to play Clay, obviously it's not an easy role. Not anyone can just pick that character up and make it what it is, but very soon, very quickly after we started working on the character with him, and I started reading the script with him and watching him turn into Clay, I was convinced that no one else, not one soul, could be Clay except for Dana Abraham. And we went with it, and he really gave it everything. I mean, it was so fantastic and painful because he was one of my good friends now. So to watch him develop for this role was, like I care for him so much, but the physical things he put himself through, how the amount of weight he lost, the mental preparation, everything he went through was just a gift to the film and a gift to me as a director as well. I couldn't love him more for it.
I'd have to imagine that playing the role of Clay as he did with such intensity, and I'm going to say purpose, because there was a method to his literal madness, and the struggle against his own mind to me was palpable. It was something. I wondered, I'm like, is he okay? Does he need a hug? Is he going to need a vacation in the Bahamas after this?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. It wasn't an easy role. And like I said, no one else could have done that role, but it was tough on him, and it was tough for me to watch him go through it. And so I really had to be there for him after shoot days, after certain scenes, like whether it was giving him a space to decompress or being there with a hug and comforting him and just being a friend. I had to do that, and I'm happy that I did, because where it got him was, he really trusted me with that character, and trusted me with him and his emotions as a human being, what I mean? Like, and I tried to care for his process and for him as best that I could, and I couldn't be prouder of him. But yeah, there was a lot of, I'll be honest, there was a lot of moments that were hard. There were a lot of tears involved, you know what I mean? There was a lot of work. I mean, we would sit together for hours just developing traits and mimics and motions together, and he would run things by me that were tough to kind of keep doing over and over again, especially when you're not on a set, when you're just the two of you, working through scenes together. But yeah, I really think that I developed an unbreakable bond with Dana throughout this whole process, like really unbreakable.
Cool. Can you talk about, without spoilers, the purpose of having each character's room be lit by a different color neon light, which is the source of the title of the film?
Absolutely. Well, the film, and anything I do, I try and inject as much metaphor and symbolism I can into every frame, pack frames with meanings that have to do with the story, that push the story forward. And I think as humans, we characterize things and kind of compartmentalize things in our brains and often associate feelings and emotions and memories and people with colors and sights and smells, and the colors are indicative of the character traits that, are projected onto these characters.
So basically, they reflect the emotions that trigger the feelings in him that he's trying to deal with.
Yeah, and I'll say this one thing. I mean, the way we view people is like looking in the mirror. We project onto them.
True. Was there anything special about the house, the property where this was filmed? Because that seemed vast and also claustrophobic at the same time, so golf clap on that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the house became an integral character. It became the last character of the film. And again, I don't think we could have filmed it anywhere else. It was just so perfect for what we needed to do. And it had such an atmosphere in there, such a vibe, such a unique energy in that location. And also, when Dana took me there for the first time, because he's from the area, he lives in the area, and he was like, "I have two locations to show you. I think I'm going to show you the one that I like best first, and then we can go to the second one." And as soon as we entered the gates of that property, I was like, the feeling that came over me was one of certainty and awe. I was like, "This is it." I hadn't even seen inside the house, but just entering the property, just that feeling and the rush of emotions made it feel right. And then we went inside the house, and I was like, "This is definitely it. Everything we need is here." And it was 60 acres, so we could do all these cool exterior scenes without being limited. You know what I mean? And we didn't even go to the second location. We didn't even enter. We didn't. We were just like, "This is it. This is it. This is it. This is it." And then Dana started tweaking the mechanics of the script, to kind of flow better within that location as well. And it really became a character, I think, that property.
Nice. So, are you working on anything else that you can talk about yet?
Yeah, I just finished filming a horror TV show that was created by Eli Roth
Ooh.
and executive produced by Eli Roth. That'll be coming out in December. And Dana and I are hoping to go to camera with a film called Black Cat, which is a modern adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe's The Black Cat in the
Ooh.
fall. Yes.
Nice. I can't wait to see those.
Thank you.
Well, Ruzbe, thank you so much for your time today. Director Ruzbe Hidari of Neon Lights, available from Momentum Pictures on digital and on demand on July 12th. Go check it out. I will say that there are trigger warnings for emotional stresses that unresolved past family traumas can inflict. So, warning there, but if you have, your dog or your cat with you to hug, cuddle with while you watch this, I'd recommend it. So, Ruzbe, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up to date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of slice of sci-fi.
And once again, the movie is Neon Lights from Momentum Pictures, available July 12th on digital and on demand, and it is an intense look at the mental distress that comes from unresolved family issues, guilt, fear, a lot of other things. So I was serious when I said, if you can be triggered by those things, have a cuddly dog with you or stuffed animal. I'm not sure, but the pacing of it and the going back and forth between several instances with his therapist and what's happening and what you're not sure is real or hallucinatory or something else. But it's definitely a compelling film. I wasn't bored by it at any point. And I think it comes down to me liking puzzles. I was trying to figure out the puzzle. So I was paying a lot of attention to the way some of the scenes were shot and the behavior going back and forth, especially between Clay and Denver. And that kept me intrigued, interested, hooked, so to speak. And yeah, I figured out one of the hooks early on, but I believe I had the wrong impression of why it was happening until the end. So no spoilers there. So how about you? Are you a fan of the psychological manipulation that some horror movies will employ to get your attention? And do you like it more or less when they hit close to issues that can hit home for a lot of people? Let me know. Call in. The number is 602-635-6976 and leave a voicemail message or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter @sliceofscifi, and yeah, we talk about movies over there. Case in point, there's an upcoming 25th anniversary Steelbook edition 4K of Event Horizon. I hate what that movie did to my expectations. That movie had so much promise, and then the end of it literally crapped the bed, in my opinion. And I'm not alone in this sentiment. A friend of mine who I went to see the movie with also agrees. No, that movie failed. Epic. Epic hard fail. And the announcement for the Steelbook 4K release has a lot of commentary, a lot of features that also have commentary, a lot of deleted scenes with commentary, and I'm not sure if they're talking about an alternate ending or an alternate film, but I'm curious now. I dislike this movie with a passion, but I want that Steelbook edition so I can see for myself what could have been. I don't consider myself a masochist, but part of me really, really wants to know why these people had such a great movie up until the end. That last 10, 15 minutes was disrespectful, in my opinion. That movie was set up to be better, a better sci-fi horror mashup than Alien. I was on board with that until the end, and I will continue to tell people that. I think I'm in the minority on hating the way that movie ended, changing my perspective about that movie. But now you've got this anniversary edition with an immense amount of extras, and I want to go through them. I want to find out if there's some clue in there that'll tell me what happened. I want to know, did they just get a bunch of bad notes from meddling executives who have no clue about the nature of horror or the nature of science fiction? What happened to this movie? I want to know. That was a tangent that... Wow, I did not expect to rant that much this soon, because I haven't even seen the extras yet. But when I do, there will be discussions. Just saying. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, you can leave a review, help signal boost the show, let people know that you're enjoying it. Why shouldn't they check it out for themselves? Also, you can leave ratings, reviews, and comments over on Podchaser. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the other podcasts and websites involved in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. That includes sliceofscifi.com, writersafterdark.com, babylonpodcast.com, the newly revamped sliceofscifi.tv, and we are still rebuilding sliceofscifi.net. But all of those podcasts and websites stay online with your help. Your pledges through Patreon, your donations through PayPal and Ko-fi really do help support the infrastructure, the machinations, the hosting for the websites and the hosting for the media. You guys help for that. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your support. If you'd like to add your support, you can go over to patreon.com/sliceofscifi and pick a tier, any tier. You will become eligible for perks. Every month I pick a winner out of the proverbial hat, and that person gets to choose from a book from Writers After Dark, or a Blu-ray, or 4K, or DVD from Slice of Sci-Fi. I can't keep all of the review materials that I get. I just don't have the space. And you guys, you listeners, you fans, you friends of the show, you all get first dibs at the swag I can't keep. So head on over to Patreon to help out. Or if you just want to donate every now and then without the burden of choosing a perk, you can choose Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/sliceofscifi, or paypal.me/scifisummer. Now, with the rebuilding of sliceofscifi.net, that is a shop, an affiliate shop, where people can browse and pick the movies and TV shows and books that are curated from the contributors to Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark and maybe even Babylon Podcast. There are oddball selections, stuff that you might not have heard of that we really, really enjoy. And I'm here to support that. Hopefully when things get settled, rebuilt over there. All of the book links will be through Bookshop, so you can help support your local store. And all of the DVDs will be through Amazon. But either way, purchases made through sliceofsci-fi.net also go to helping to support efforts here. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.